Stand by to receive our transmission.
Where are you boys from in the world?
Alabama, sir.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome to the Bama Geeks Podcast. We're four friends diving into our favorite pop culture topics with a dash of Southern charm.
Right, we have the tools, we have the talent. It's Miller time.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
Wait, what? Crazy? You didn't say I was crazy.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
You want something done, you've got to do it yourself.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
So grab your biscuits and gravy, a glass of sweet tea, and enjoy the nerdy hospitality
Bama
of
Geeks
Brock and Jessica Parker,
63.
Bo Bearden, and Kevin
this
Gardner.
This is the DragonCon episode. Why do I say it's the DragonCon episode? Because those folks who go to DragonCon are not here. My cohorts, Brock and Bo and Jessica, are all at this point either at DragonCon or are recovering from DragonCon, depending on when you have access to this podcast. So I'm wishing them the best, and I hope that they had a very, very fun time at DragonCon. And I'm sure that next week we're going to be able to give you guys some really, really cool stories from DragonCon, some folks they met, some signatures they got, all the good gossip, all the good stuff. So, but for this episode, I really appreciate you joining in with me. We've got a fun episode coming up. I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, I'm going to be leading this episode solo, so we're going to be doing it the Kevin way a little bit here. We're going to be following the format, but at the same time, I've got something special for you guys, something that we've never done before, and I'm hoping that you're going to enjoy it. So let's just get started, shall we? So how do we normally do this? We start with introductions. Well, introduction. My name is Kevin, of course. I'm going to be your host for this episode. And what has Kevin been up to in the last couple of weeks? Let's see. As usual, Kevin has been working on his home. I am, as usual, in full homemaker, home improvement mode, working on, what did I do last? I actually started working on building out a couple of sections in the front of my house with mulch and putting in the water breaks. And the big thing is I had started this before during our last podcast, but because this summer has been relatively dry, we'll go like in Alabama, we'll go 2-3 weeks where it's super hot, super dry, and then all of a sudden we'll get, you know, tons of rain. And we haven't gotten tons of rain other than the potential for rain coming from the hurricane that's going to be hitting the Florida coast. Or actually, at this point, will have already hit the Florida coast, but I digress. The sections that I have in the front yard, they've been tested at this point. I've been able to see water come down off the roof. I've been able to see exactly where it's hitting, where I've got the actual water breaks with stones running all the way down. So if you're, I actually may do a demo of that at one point, because if you have a house and you're worried with having issues where you don't have gutters and you have water coming off the roof and it's pounding into the ground and it's leaving big divots along the front of your house because it's been that way forever, you know, if you're inventive enough, you can take care of that even without gutters. You know, I'm not putting gutters on my house yet because I am going to be doing a remodeling on the house at some point. And I'm going to put gutters up. But, there could be exterior paint involved, all kinds of other stuff. I just don't want to have to take them, put them up, and then take them down. So I just put a line of rocks that I've been collecting for the last, I don't know, since I moved in. Been picking up rocks in the yard. You know, it's just a rocky area that I live in. And I just kind of piled them up in a line all the way down within this bed I was building. And I put two symmetrical beds on either side of my porch. It's about 20-foot span with 5-foot back. It was a fun project. It was a lot easier on Kevin than building out the initial hardscaping feature that I featured on the Bama Geeks front porch. Yeah, overall, you know, obviously, guys, I do this all the time. I enjoy working in the yard. I enjoy, you know, being able to drive down the road to my driveway and then pull up to the, you know, pull up to my house and see all the improvements and things that I've made. So it's, you know, it's been a fun ride. I have some things coming up, hopefully some more backyard work that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you guys. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to, other than, you know, trying to study and get ready for this podcast, doing a lot of research for you guys. So, all right, so just kind of moving along, you know, this episode's probably going to wind up being a bit shorter because I'm a bit more compact on time, and there's not going to be a whole lot of, you know, back and forth unless I develop another personality and just start talking to myself. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen, but you know what, if it does, we can all enjoy it and we can have some fun with it. So, all right. So I am in no way going to do this as good as our awesome, matriarch Jess, but we're going to do Bama Geeks Southern Words and Phrases. You guys ready for this? All right, you guys, I'm going to have to get into my Southern accent in and say, our Southern word and phrases for today, for this episode, is grinning like a possum eating a sweet tater. So, anybody that's not Southern, basically what that means, it's one of the South's more colorful ways to indicate that someone is apparently pretty darn happy. So, if you are grinning like a possum eating a sweet tater, you know, possums are very common in the South. Sweet potatoes are very common in the South. I actually prefer sweet potatoes over regular potatoes. I know that's sacrilege to some people, but I love sweet potatoes. They're so good. So yeah, man, if you're grinning like a possum eating a sweet tater, you got to be having a good time. So there's your Bama Geek Southern words and phrases. And let's roll straight on into it. I told you guys this is probably going to be pretty short, but just wait until I get into the Star Wars stuff. I'll probably jabber on about that. Dad jokes. I got one that actually works with the Southern words and phrases. Since I was the one who picked out the Southern words and phrases, and we normally get surprised by Jess. I don't usually get to pair my dad joke with her Southern words and phrase. So let's check this out. Why did the chicken cross the road? To prove to the possum that it's not impossible. Yes, I mean, hopefully I don't have to explain that one, but I will. Possums are usually found in the road. They don't usually cross the road. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Good stuff. Ahsoka. This is the main chunk of what I want to talk about for this episode, which is, again, probably going to wind up being fairly short, but all right. So, first two episodes, we're going to do us a brief recap of the first two episodes. So, at the time of me recording this, which is shortly, actually a day before episode 3 comes out is when I'm recording this, we've seen episodes 1 and 2. Disney released them a day early, which would have been, at this time, a week ago, they released them. I've watched them several times at this point. You know, the episodes kind of start off, and if you, and by the way, you know, I've heard from Brock, for example, and Jessica, who really have never seen Star Wars Rebels, which was kind of like supposedly required watching, to be able to get this, and everything that's going on. It is recommended to see Rebels and, you know, to see certain episodes in Rebels, but you don't have to. Brock and Jessica were both saying that they were able to follow the show. They were enjoying it so far already. So the big thing that I've noticed that has been mentioned about Ahsoka and, you know, episode 1 and 2 is the pacing on it. Recap-wise, you know, obviously, it's the story centers around Ahsoka. I'm assuming most people that are listening to this have probably seen the episodes, and I'm not going to do a lot of spoilery anything with this. I want people to be able to enjoy it, but in the event that you have seen it, I'll touch slightly on something. I'm not going to do a full recap because I don't want to spoil it for everybody. I just kind of want to go over some of the characters and kind of my impressions of them. Of course, Ahsoka, you know, Rosario Dawson, she's playing the exact same character with the exact same style, the exact same pacing and feel that she did when she was in Mandalorian. That's exactly what I would expect. I mean, she's going to be the driver for the pacing of this show. I mean, it's her show. And a lot of folks had an issue with the pacing, again, because it just seems like everything's running really slow. But the thing is episode one of the series was basically dedicated to, you know, tying up loose ends with Rebels to make sure that we were all aware of what was, you know, if you were Rebels, watched Rebels like I did. The show really picked up in episode two. And the whole thing revolves around the relationship of Ahsoka and Sabine. You know, you start seeing, you know, without dropping too many spoilers with this, that's really going to ruin anything for you. You know, Ahsoka and Sabine don't have a phenomenal relationship. You could probably see that from the trailer. They're very reluctant to work together for a reason, but you start seeing that start to thaw at the end of episode two. So I'm hoping in the upcoming episodes, we've already been kind of teased in the upcoming episodes, that we start seeing their relationship blossom back out to where it should be. But yeah, Ahsoka, of course, Sabine, super cool. The actress they've got playing her, phenomenal pick. She looks the part. She acts the part. Pretty much like they just plucked her straight out of, you know, the cartoon format and put her in live action. I mean, she's dead on. The fact that, you know, we've seen her with, you know, she of course has Ezra's lightsaber. There's a whole scene there where she's using the lightsaber for something. And at some point in the episodes, we actually get to see her donning her Mandalorian armor. So it's kind of, she kind of has a mini story arc of how she's going to be approaching how she does, you know, how she looks at the Force, how she looks at fighting, how she looks at, you know, at this point, her former master, which her former master at this point was Ahsoka. So there's going to be a lot going on there. I'm sure that's going to be the central thing between her and Sabine, at the very least until we get to the point where we see Thrawn, which is upcoming. We get a little bit of the story on that, which I'll touch on very, very lightly on this. So, next character that is probably the most influential so far as, you know, what you may have saw in the trailer and you may have seen, that you may have latched onto when you saw the episode, was Baylan Skoll, which, you know, Baylan is played by the late Ray Stevenson. You know, rest in peace, my friend. You were doing an amazing job, and I couldn't have seen anybody else do this part at this point. He's kind of like a raw and less idealistic Dooku. He can definitely have some rawness to him, but he also has the presence, the menacing, I don't know, menacing is the right word, the commanding presence of Dooku when, you know, Darth Tyrannus when he wants to. So, but he's not, you know, he's not a Sith. These guys are not Sith, and it's you know, it's pretty fascinating that they can, you know, we're actually getting dark side users that are not Sith, that are not, because the thing with Sith and Jedi, and I've been saying this since well before it became an official, like a factoid mentioned by Luke Skywalker in the sequels, you know, the Jedi and Sith are religions. You know, the Force is the thing. It's just a force out there. And the Jedi and Sith are religions. They're just a particular dogma in one direction or the other. You know, one is focused on power, one is focused on serenity. If you don't follow that dogma, just the same as anybody else in the world, if you don't follow a particular religion or a dogma, it doesn't mean you can't be a Force user. It doesn't mean you can't use a lightsaber and do Force things. It just means you're not tied to a particular dogma, which kind of opens things up with Ahsoka, for example. Since Disney has confirmed with us that the coloring of the lightsabers is is actually related directly to your alignment in the Force. So you see, you know, these two dark side users, which don't follow a particular dogma, they don't exactly have like blood red lightsabers. They have orange, like an orangish red lightsaber, which means that they're aligned pretty bad, but not necessarily, you know, so bad, you know, like Sith bad, like nothing but bad. But then you have Ahsoka, on the other hand, who really doesn't have a color at all. So she's probably going to wind up being more of what we refer to as a gray Jedi. So, you know, there's been hinted for the longest time that, you know, we were going to start seeing gray Jedi enter in. And I think Ahsoka, especially with the way that they ended Rebels and Clone Wars, is, yeah, they definitely set her up for that. So, Shin Hati. And she's an incredible character herself. And I want to share a picture of the two of these guys. Shin, her deal is, you know, there's a scene between her and Sabine in one of the episodes on here. And, you know, we get to see that she's fairly talented, actually incredibly talented as a Force user. But she has this thirst to look up to her master. You can tell her she's looking up like almost like a punished dog or like a dog wanting a treat kind of thing. And that is very much like Sith. It's the whole craving of power. She's craving his attention. She's craving his acknowledgement. And that's, you know, so far as Sith and Jedi tenets, that's a way to the dark side, which would probably line up pretty well with, you know, with what's going on with these guys. So one of the really cool features about Baylan Skoll and Shin Hati is anybody who knows Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni loves wolves. He loves when he was doing Rebels, he created the Loth wolves. We have the Loth cats, which are the you know, what Sabine has as a pet, and we have Loth wolves, which are like the dog version of Loth cats, basically. And it's always a little bit of touch of wolf something. Now, that doesn't end with this. If anything, he's pushed it even further a little bit, which is super cool. Skoll and Hati, which are the surnames of these two characters, they're connected to Norse mythology. Skoll and Hati are the wolf brothers and the sons of Fenrir. Their whole deal in Norse mythology, and I'll show you guys an image of Skoll and Hati. They chase, Skoll chases the sun, and Hati chases the moon. And they catch their prey at Ragnarok, which anybody new who knows anything about Marvel, we've already seen Thor Ragnarok. We know what happens at Ragnarok. It's the end of all things as Norse mythology knows it. So in that case, you know, it was the end of everything Norse at that point, except for the folks that got away in the ship. But so far as this goes, it's just a nod to Norse mythology, but it's also could potentially be ominous for the story if you think about it, because so far as the story goes, that could be an issue. You know, this could be that this is leading into what might happen in future episodes. So, you know, I'm not really going to try to make any theories, but these guys could potentially, cause some potential havoc in the future. So, just kind of moving on a little bit, talking about Ahsoka. The big theory that's been going on is with this particular little fella. His name is Marok. Some folks online saw that Sam Witwer, who did the voice for Darth Maul in some of the animated stuff. He also did the voice for a character in a video game. His name is Starkiller, who happened to be the apprentice of Darth Vader, like Darth Vader's apprentice. You know, Ahsoka was Anakin Skywalker's apprentice. Darth Vader had an apprentice by the name of Starkiller. People saw Sam Witwer. They saw this guy was an Inquisitor. Looks to be male. We're not 100% sure yet. And just jumped to conclusions and said, this has got to be, you know, the characters being very similar, this has got to be Marok's got to be Starkiller, right? Decent theory. Don't really think it's right, personally. The other theory with Marok is it could be Barriss Offee, which was the former Padawan of Luminara, who, and she turned Inquisitor before, she turned an Inquisitor. Sorry, I got a notification. She turned Inquisitor before, after the events of, Order 66. You know, she just as many Jedi did. They turned Inquisitor. She was one that turned Inquisitor. And of course, one of the more far fetched theories is that's Ezra. I don't think that they're gonna have brought Ezra back already. Ezra is wherever Thrawn is. Mild spoiler, but he's wherever Thrawn is, in the unknown regions, which if you've seen Rebels, you'll know that the Purgles, which were like these big spacefaring whales, carried them all off to the unknown regions, and we have no idea where they are. My theory on Merrick is, we don't know who he is yet, or she is yet. We have no idea. And it's probably going to be somebody that's surprising that we may know, but I don't think it's anybody that we've guessed yet. So, guess we need to stay tuned and actually, be surprised. We don't all have to clickbait and guess every little thing just to be satisfied. We can just, the way I see it, let's just sit back and enjoy this week to week, and then we can all find out together. So, there you go. The other character, Morgan Elsbeth, which was, she's a descendant of Dathomiri witches, I believe. Either she's just Dathomiri or she's a descendant of witches. I don't like to make the assumption that just because you're female from Dathomir that you're a Dathomiri witch, but I think that's kind of how it goes with their culture and society. One of the really cool things about Dathomiri witches is, what are you telling me about TikTok? Go away. One of the coolest things about Dathomiri witches is they rode Rancors into battle. Rancors are from Dathomir. That's their big deal. So Dathomiri witches would ride these into battle before even the era of lightsabers. It was an incredible sight to behold. And I would hope that at some point we get to see a flashback of that happening and not in a video game or anything like that. But she, Morgan Elsbeth, was, she was the character in the Jedi episode in Mandalorian where she was in the large, she had taken over the settlement. Ahsoka comes to capture her. She sexually captures her, and then she has a role to play in episodes 1 and 2 on here. And she's going to be a central figure, let me put it this way, in getting to Thrawn and getting him into the storyline. So I wrote some more notes here that were very spoilery, and since I decided I'm not going to do very much spoilers on here, I'm going to skip that. But the big note is that if we've established that the Purgles took Thrawn and Ezra to another galaxy, right? They took them to another galaxy altogether. It wasn't just a part in the Star Wars galaxy; it was another galaxy. In the New Jedi Order, there was another race of beings called the Yuuzhan Vong. Anybody who knows New Jedi Order and read through all 18 million of those books, the ups and downs, know the Yuuzhan Vong. And they were pretty much the biggest force, the biggest enemy that Star Wars, the galaxy, has ever faced. Very opposite of what we're used to. These guys hate technology. Everything that they use is living, including their force fields, their propulsion devices, everything. The armor they wear is living. The weapons they use is living. And they hate droids, and they hate machinery, and they're very fanatical. I would be super excited that if the fact that we have now opened the door to the potential for other galaxies, we could potentially see that as some follow-up material to this, because there is a lot to pull from on there. Even if they only do a portion of the Yuuzhan Vong, I think that would be absolutely incredible. But hey, that's probably going to be 10 years down the road if Disney is still doing Star Wars at that point and has not run it into the ground like some other franchises they've done. My opinion. Hopefully we could see that, as be kind of like a more strange result of, you know, just needing some more content. But anyway, that's kind of my opinion, spoilery free, on Ahsoka so far. You know, obviously, like I said earlier, with the time I'm recording this, we get another episode tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to watching it. So, all right. So let's talk about this new segment that I wanted to speak about. It's actually a little bit of a, I've been wearing the shirt of what I want to talk about this entire time. It's actually the Golden Eagle Syrup Company out of Fayette, Alabama. We're going to call this segment, if it's something that we continue to do or we do in the future, it's going to be Alabama History with Kevin. So the Golden Eagle Syrup Company, going to kind of just give you guys just a bit of a history on this. This is the building in which they manufacture the Golden Eagle Syrup in Fayette, Alabama. Fayette, Alabama is just, it's northeast of Tuscaloosa, Scooch, a little bit. About 45 minutes northeast of, actually, I'm sorry, not northeast, northwest of Tuscaloosa. These guys have been in business since 1928. It's an Alabama staple. Just about anybody that lives here knows about Golden Eagle syrup, whether you like it or not. You know, odds are if you've had a pecan pie, you've had a Golden Eagle syrup in it. It's just a staple here. It is getting to the point where it's made it around, at the very least, the eastern seaboard and some of the Midwestern states. But it is kind of a limited run, daily run, twice a week, 500 gallons a week kind of thing. It's a little more like a craft brewery in a way. But these guys have been running since 1929. They started it in a wooden backyard shed behind the original owner's house. And anybody that's, you know, I will interject here and say anybody that wants to get a better history of this than I can give you, because I just gush about it because I love Golden Eagle syrup. If you go to goldeneaglesyrup.com, and they have an about page that will give you the entire history of this company, including the families that started it, the families that currently run it. The best thing about this is, like any good American institution, it's family owned. It started in 1928, in the aforementioned wooden backyard shed. The actual syrup itself is made of simple ingredients: corn syrup, cane sugar syrup, cane molasses, and pure honey. That's it. That's all that's in it. No, nothing special. It's the blend that does it. And I actually have a treat for you guys. I actually, as a good Alabamian, I actually own some of this. So when you go to the store and you're looking where the syrups are, if you happen to be somewhere other place in the country and you want to look for this, or if you're at a Publix, you can request that they carry this so that you can buy it. It comes in a little mason jar. It looks very similar to my shirt, right? And it is a golden honey color. And I'll actually open this and show you guys. So most people don't know. God, it smells so good. This, by the way, this stuff lasts pretty much forever. It's made of honey. It just doesn't go bad. I think I've had this for like 2 years, and I've used just a little bit of it. I will use it all the way to the bottom. It's not a big deal. But just to kind of give you guys an idea of the consistency of it, look at that. Look at that consistency. It is honey. The big thing is it's honey and molasses. The stuff is absolutely delicious. I really enjoy it, and I'm actually going to eat this. Oh man, this stuff's so good. So the staple, this is, as I mentioned earlier, this is actually a staple ingredient in Southern pecan pie. You can have other folks that, it's really sticky. You can have other folks that that make pecan pies in other parts of the country, but pretty much if you want a good Southern pecan pie, you can taste this stuff. If you use it, you can taste it in the pecan pie. It's so good. And because this is always something that's always very debatable, you notice I say pecan, right? There's some people in other parts of the country that say pecan, right? in English, in any language, it's an evolving thing. But the thing with me is like pecan and pecan, it's not really even really a debate. And I will tell you why. I don't know, I may be triggering some folks and even talking about this, because it is a heated debate. So pecan comes from the Native American word pecani. Notice how that was pronounced, pecani. And it evolved into the American French pecan. Notice we have pecani, pecan, pecan. Right? There's no different pronunciation for that, really. There is no E in sight in the first syllable of those words. So there's no P. It's pa, pecan. So every one of those pronunciations puts an emphasis on the second syllable. So if you're in a part of the country that pronounces the pecan, where it's almost like you're talking about more of something that you use when you're bedridden and you can't go to the restroom, that's kind of what that sounds more like to me. You can tell your friends that a true Alabamian told you it was pecan. And there's your hot take for the day. So, as I mentioned earlier about Golden Eagle Syrup Company, it is has always been family owned and family run. These guys, they still make this. They make it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they make about 500 gallons per batch. And I mean, you can imagine, this is 15 ounces, and you can get it in multiple sizes. This is a smaller one. You can get it in a larger one if you've got a larger family. Because believe me, you'll get one of these, and then your family will try it. And this, on certain occasions, will probably beat out maple syrup. I'm telling you, I love maple syrup too, but this stuff is just, oh, so good. It's still in the same downtown building that was purchased by the original owner and creator in Fayette, Alabama. So nothing much has changed with it other than health codes and the ingredients are pretty much the same. The only thing that they've added to it is the same thing that they've added to just about everything else in the world. It's high fructose corn syrup. So they use corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup to supplement. So I've only ever known it with high fructose corn syrup in my life. So the story of how this relates to me is, I mean, I'm a lifelong Alabamian. Lived here all my life. I remember this being in the cabinet growing up. I almost exclusively ate pancakes and anything that needed syrup with Golden Eagle syrup. It's one of those, everyone, we all have our comfort food and we all have that thing that we remember from when we were kids. This is my thing. It's Golden Eagle syrup. It's awesome. So Golden Eagle syrup, if you guys are listening, please keep this going and we really, really appreciate you. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed Alabama History with Kevin. And at this point, we would normally do our housekeeping roll, but I want to say thanks you to everyone for tuning in. Housekeeping so far as socials, we're on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it now. We're on Instagram. You can look us up. The biggest thing is go to our Bama Geeks Front Porch, which is on Facebook. Bama Geeks Front Porch, we are probably the most active there, and it's probably the easiest way to interface with us. So if you have any show ideas or anything, that's going to be the place to go, would be the Bama Geeks Front Porch. Of course, we'll take email, anything that you want to do. Just shoot it our way. Let us know. Another big one, we'll want to give a shout-out to our Patreon supporters. It's at patreon.com/BamaGeeks. It's $5 a month and you can support the channel. We really appreciate it. Those dollars actually add up and it actually helps us purchase equipment. It helps us pay for streaming subscriptions, podcasting subscriptions, things like that. I mean, in reality, guys, we do this for fun. We don't do this to get paid. We do this because we enjoy talking to you guys. We enjoy sharing Alabama history. We enjoy sharing geekdom so far as it's related to Alabama. So, you know, anything you can do to help us would be amazing. And as always, if you could, if you're on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. I think that's going to be it for me, guys. Much shorter episode than normal, but we don't have a lot of, you know, we don't have my other four guys here to do bantering with me. I want to say I really appreciate, again, everybody tuning in. And I'm going to be looking forward to another incredible episode with our next episode coming up in a couple of weeks. But until then, y'all come back. See you later.